just lower it a hair. Thank you. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Peter. We're on a timetable, so we're going to take right off like a jet. 1 Peter. I hope you brought your Bible. If you didn't, go home and get it. Come back. No. But you ought to carry your Bible to church. We're living in a generation.
That's right.
Less and less people carry their Bibles to church. How are you going to look up things? How are you going to make sure I'm accurate? Unless you're following along. It's your obligation as a Christian to check me out. Make sure that I'm being true to the text. There's a lot of distortion today. A lot of heresy today.
It's true.
It's your responsibility to check out whoever you hear. I don't care who it is. And you can't do that if you don't have your Bible. You should be checking along and marking things. I know years ago they said don't mark in the Bible. Well, that's not true. But anyways, I encourage you to always bring your Bible. Well, let's go to the text in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. As obedient children, now he's talking about the children of God. Not everybody in this world today is a child of God. Well, praise God. But the scripture refers to the children of God and the children of Satan in 1 John. Anyone in the world who is not born again, anyone in the world who is not a true Christian, and I always use the term true Christian today because so many people say they are and think they are. But anyone who is a true Christian has been born of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit lives in us now. And so Peter is writing to those of us who are true Christians. And he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. We are to be holy in all of our behavior. There are things that we should not be doing as Christians. And Peter tells us why in verse 16. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God has called us to be a holy people.
That's true.
And the word holy means separated. You and I are to be separated from the world. We're to live in the world, but we are not to imitate the world. Now, growing up in the church that I grew up in, I had a distorted view of holiness. Because when I thought of holiness, I thought of things like this. Every Sunday, a man ought to wear a suit and a tie. That's the way I was brought up.
True.
Certainly, women should wear long dresses. In other words, they shouldn't be showing off their legs. Now, let me say this, ladies. You don't have to wear long dresses anymore. But the Bible does say to all of us, we should be careful the way we dress. A couple of years ago, I was in a service, and a beautiful young lady, David's chuckling because he was there, a beautiful blonde lady came in late and stood right in front of me. With what we called in the 70s, mini skirt. And I want you are this morning. I had a hard time keeping my mind on the worship. I'm just being honest with you. She had an absolutely gorgeous leg. I don't know if I hope we're not on the radio, are we? But anyway, I'm just telling you the truth. She was beautiful, wasn't she, David? So the Bible does say to us, I wanted to see how truthful our worship is. The Bible does say, though, that we should be considerate of others in the way we dress. Now, in the day and age which we grew up, a man would never, ever consider wearing shorts to church. Now, if you have on shorts, I have no idea if you do today, but that's okay. I'm telling you how I grew up. I had a distorted view of holiness. Certainly, women weren't to wear makeup. They weren't to wear jewelry. You would never think of going swimming on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. By the way, what I found out later on was as I grew in the Lord, every day is supposed to be the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Got a good amen up there. Well, all these things kind of distorted my view of holiness so that I really never really understood. But I want to share with you this morning for a few moments. This is a commandment of the Lord right here. The King James says, be ye holy as I am holy. That's a command. We are to be patterning our lives after the Lord Jesus. Amen? Now, just a few things I'm going to say this morning, but please take note of them. True salvation always results in deliverance from sin. Did you get that? In other words, the scripture said that Jesus came to save us from our sin. Sin is offensive to God. And when true salvation takes place in the heart, a man or a woman, as they begin to grow in the Lord, begin to put off their old behaviors, their old way of conduct, the sinful things that they once loved and enjoyed. You can't do it anymore because the Holy Spirit's in you. Now you can do it, but let me put it this way. You can't be peaceful doing it. Does that make sense? Do Christians sin? Sure we do. But if you're a sinning Christian and you're just going around with a life filled with peace, most likely you're not a Christian at all. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit comes into the true believer, number one, he is holy, amen? Holy Spirit. Any sin that you and I do grieves the precious Holy Spirit. Amen? So in other words, when we truly come to Christ, we are delivered from our sin. Now it's a process. We begin to grow. We begin to read the Word of God. We begin to hear messages. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we say, wow, I shouldn't be doing it. I shouldn't be doing it. How I witnessed that all the years I was in the rescue mission as the pastor. Some of the most evil men we ever had, and I say evil, once they got saved, once they began to grow, they would come into my office and say, Pastor, I don't feel right doing this anymore. Pastor, I don't want to do this anymore. Why? rejects us. And one of the reasons why they reject us, I believe, the most is they see so little difference in us. They think we're a bunch of hypocrites. I've had people say to me, well, you Christians don't live any different than we do. And you know, sad to say, in the day and age in which we're living, that's pretty true. In other words, you know, the world, they chew, they spit, they sniff, they snuff, they go to bars, they gamble, they fornicate. Now, we expect that from the world. Amen? We expect that from sinners in the world. But the problem is today, more and more Christians are doing the same things as the world. So the world says, I don't see any difference in you people. You don't live any different than we do. My friends, what did we just read?
No.
Be ye holy. Saith the Lord. Is that sinking in today? Be holy, God says, as I am holy. And of course, a lot of it's because of false teaching today, this false view of grace. Oh, we're saved by grace. We can do anything we want now. No, that's not the true grace of God. The Bible says the true grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. Titus 2:13. We're to be denying ungodliness, and we're to be living soberly and righteously in this present evil age, he says. The liberty they talk about today is not a liberty to sin. The true biblical liberty is deliverance from and freedom from sin, so that we can enter into all that our Father has for us. Amen? It's not the idea, well, I'm a Christian now and I can just do whatever I want and live any way I want, and grace covers it all. That is a perversion of the true grace of God. Do you and I really realize, can we even begin to really fathom today at all how much God hates sin? How much God hates sin? You know, all we have to really do is look at the cross. Do you want to see how much God hates sin? Look to the cross. Jesus Christ bled and died in our place for our what, everyone? Do you want to see how much God hates sin? Just look to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our chastisement of us was upon him at the cross. At the cross. In my view, the cross is one of the clearest pictures of the hatred of Almighty God for sin. Now, the modern church today doesn't talk about sin. Because the modern church today is all about catering to people, making people feel happy and feel good. And if you just follow Jesus, you'll walk in health and you'll be rich. My friends, that is an absolute perversion of the truth of God's word. You'd be an absolute fool not to come to Christ on those terms. Amen? But suppose you really began to talk what Jesus taught. Do you think as many people would come if the modern church on television began to proclaim, repent, turn away from your sin, forsake your sin, give up your sin, and come to Christ? Absolutely not. It's not a popular message today. It doesn't appeal to this generation. So, they teach the health and wealth gospel, which is right out of the pit of hell. It's a perversion of the truth. Oh, there is some truth in it. There is some truth in it. The problem is, it is not all truth. If you listen to these people, everybody ought to be healthy and everybody ought to be wealthy. And then we could move over into the realm of the prophetic. All these words that people want to speak over me. No, no, no. I have no problem hearing from God at all. Now, I believe in the prophetic. All of you know that. God does speak through people. There's no doubt.
That's true.
But in 40 years, the things that I've heard spoken over people's lives that have never come to pass. My friends, we have to be very, very careful of some of these things today. There are signs of the end of the age. People have itching ears. Be careful who you're listening to. They could mess up your life for years to come. You see, the modern church is not really concerned about the issue of sin. They don't ever want to speak on sin because they're afraid that it might turn some people off. It might drive some people out. Some people just might get upset. But my friends, if we preach on sin, some people might also get delivered from the pit of hell. They might get everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Of the Holy Spirit. Now, my friends, I know what I'm talking about because I've shared with you before, so I'll only speak of it briefly. But as a young pastor, in 1979, after pastoring my church, first church, for 3 years, I had an awful experience, several there. And when I left there, I went right back out to the world. And I lived like the world, and I acted like the world, and I did what the world was doing for a whole year. I was fed up with Christians. I was fed up with the church. I became very disillusioned with Christianity. And for a whole year, I backslid, went out to the world. Mm-hmm. Every single time, though, I was doing things that were wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. Rick, why are you going there? But I ignored his voice until a year later. I went to get on my knees one night to pray, and I couldn't pray. And the Holy Spirit flooded my heart. And I said, God, I have sinned. I ask your forgiveness, Lord. And the Lord graciously forgave me. And he recommissioned me. And I moved from Iowa back to Utica, New York. In a little town where I grew up, and I had always prayed that someday there would be a Bible. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? God hates sin, my friends. God hates sin. God wants us to hate sin. What is missing today is a holy hatred for sin. We treat sin far too lightly. God doesn't take sin lightly. It cost his son his life. Every filthy sin you've ever done, every filthy sin I've ever done was laid on Jesus Christ at the cross. At the cross. There's a turn with me in your Bible to one closing passage, 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to honor the pastor and be done at noon no matter what. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Now I want you to listen closely. Look this way for a moment. You don't have to be a scholar to interpret the Bible. There are difficult passages, there's no question. But what we're going to look at is a simple passage in 1 John. I want you to listen to it closely and let the passage interpret itself. Can you do that? All right, 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness. Now, the key word here is practices. No one is perfect this side of heaven. Only Jesus Christ was. Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, Jesus. Verse 8. The one who practices sin is of what, everyone? John does not say the one who sins. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? John makes a clear distinction here. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil is sin from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now listen closely to verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin. It doesn't say that we don't have the ability to sin. We will sin because we all fall short of the glory of God. But we are never to practice sin. We are never to live in sin. That's what he's saying. And here's the reason why in verse 9. Because his seed abides in us. The nature of God. The nature of God lives in you if you're a believer. The nature of God lives in me today. And that's the reason why, John says, that anyone who is born of God does not practice sin. And he cannot sin. Now, that's not a good translation. That's not a good translation. Here's what it should say. And he cannot practice sin. I don't know why they did this. I have no idea. And this is what has messed up many people. The text should read, and he cannot practice sin because he is born of God. Now, verse 10 is the key. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Remember I told you there's two sets of children in the world? There's your scriptural basis. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. say two things in closing. Number one, one of the greatest concerns I have today, and it's not only mine, it's a growing concern among many evangelicals, is that there are many people today who think they are saved, who have never been saved at all. They had a religious experience. Someone said to them, repeat after me the sinner's prayer. That doesn't save you. That doesn't save you. No, you see, you have to have a heart. You have to have a change of heart. Hundreds and hundreds of people have said the sinner's prayer that never repented of anything. But when you talk to them, like the men in the mission where I worked 27 years, oh, Brother Rick, I remember when I was 5 years old, my mother had me pray the sinner's prayer. Yeah? You know what I would say to them? What did it do for you? How did you live after that? Very dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous. Children are children. They'll recite almost anything. I have a real problem, and I probably shouldn't say it. It'll probably cause me some flack, but I've had flack before. I'm not too much into child evangelism because I have a great concern over that. Now, I am not saying, so don't come up to me afterwards and say, well, I know that my 7-year-old got saved. Well, praise God, I didn't say they couldn't. But are you following me? The danger is, you see, as the danger was for me. I was brought up in a religious home. At 5 years old, I could quote all of Psalm 23 by heart. My mother had taught me. But I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved till years later. But I knew the scripture. I was taught it from a little boy. I knew the hymns. I was taught them. But I wasn't born again until I was 19 years old. There's a danger in saying to people, just say the sinner's prayer. No, no. Salvation involves the work of the Holy Spirit in here. He brings spirit of repentance. Repentance. God, forgive me. I have sinned. I have sinned. The second thing, to make it very simple, to make this message come together now on holiness, is what is true holiness then? What is true? Very simple. I missed it all those years, so many years. It's becoming like Jesus. That's all it is. Jesus was holy, wasn't he? I didn't hear too much. How many of you believe he was holy? Raise your hand. Well, that's better. This is really a very simple doctrine. Now, it can be complex theologically. We can get into a lot of things. That's not my point. My point is this. Every true Christian is to be patterning our life after the Lord Jesus. Simple test. Christians today are going to filthy movies. Do you really think Jesus would go to a filthy movie? Do you really believe that? You really think the Son of God would subject himself for 2 hours of what we call entertainment when it's nothing but filth? Here's another one. I read reports and it's been confirmed. More and more Christians are swearing all the time. They're even using the F word now. They're using the F word. Jesus would swear? Do any of you really believe that? Then why should we do it? We're to be holy as he is holy. So many Christians I hear, I heard of another young man that I led to Christ years ago. Oh, he's out at the casino almost every night now. You really believe Jesus would go over there and gamble every night? My friend, if you say yes to any of these things, you do not know the Jesus of the Bible. He was holy. He was undefiled. He was separated from sin. And that's the calling to every one of us this morning. Now, I'm not here to condemn you. God hasn't given us the ministry of condemnation. But I'm here to share the good news with you. There's a loving Father in heaven who sent his only Son into the world to save people like you and I. And he doesn't take sin lightly. It cost him greatly. It cost him heaven's best. The death of the Lord Jesus. In my place, condemned he stood. Condemned he stood in my place, your place. Sealed my pardon. There's so much truth just in those two lines. In my place, he stood condemned. And I think of the things of the years that I did. I can only thank God that he is a God of mercy. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Why, my friends, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge. Sinners plunge into that blood and it cleanses us and makes us white as snow. Let us bow, everyone, for a moment. No one moving, please. I sense that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some this morning. You might say, Pastor Rick, I am a believer. But just like you, I strayed away from him. There's good news. The fountain is still flowing. There is a crimson tide. It's still flowing, my friend. There's still grace and mercy for you. Maybe you say, Pastor Rick, I'm involved in things I shouldn't be. Do you know how many men today are involved in Christian men in pornography on the internet? They get caught up in it. I've met with sincere men, but it's ruining their lives. It's destroying their marriages. It's so accessible on the internet. Maybe it's something else for you. Maybe it's your tongue. Maybe you've got a tongue like the serpent. You gossip and malign people and backstab. Sin is sin. Oh, but my friends, there is a fountain filled with blood today. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Rick, pray for me. There are some things in my life that I need to get straight. There are some things that I'm doing that are not what Jesus would do. And I don't want to do them anymore with his help, with his help. Would you just slip up? I'm not going to embarrass you. This is between you and the Lord. God bless you, sister. God bless you, young man. God bless you. God bless you, many of you. We're not going to give a formal invitation today. Time doesn't allow it. Earl's going to come and sing a closing hymn. But I want you just to pray this prayer to the Lord from your own heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I've heard your word today. And your word spoke to my heart. You know my every need. You know the things I battle. I cannot deliver myself from them. I need your grace. I need your help. I need your power to be the person you want me to be and to live a holy life. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus.
I'd like to sing this song, Face to Face. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face what will it be if I pass away when I go up in heaven? If I see him face to face, what would I do? Would I fall on my knees? Would I cry?
Nope, we don't do that. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ.